Welcome to episode 464 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Lindsay. This Nordic country is often referred to as the land of a thousand lakes. Over two-thirds of its landmass is covered in forest, and there are more saunas here than there are cars. It offers visitors a unique blend of natural wonder, wellness experiences, innovative design, art, unique gastronomy, and tumultuous history. Recently, Lindsay had the opportunity to experience firsthand some of what makes Finland the happiest country in the world, and she's here to share her experience with us. So let's get started. Wow. Could you put a few longer and harder to pronounce words in that intro?
Sorry, George. It's so hard to boil down all of the amazing things I learned about Finland into like a little paragraph. It was so hard. It gets harder and harder, I think, to do those. So I want to preface this before we get into it with saying, like, last year I did this ancestry DNA thing. Thought I was Irish. Turned out I'm 31% Finnish.
Wow. 33%
German. Yeah. And I had no idea. And Finland, to be honest, this is so embarrassing for me to even admit this now that I know how incredible it is. I wasn't even on my radar of places to go. I'd been everywhere all around it. just hadn't quite. So when this opportunity came up, I took it, and I'm so glad that I did. This was one of the most incredible trips I've ever taken in my life. And I know that a lot of people like myself, it might not be on your living list or your bucket list, but it really should be. So Finland hasn't really focused on the U.S. tourism market because they were getting most of their tourists from Asia and elsewhere. And so now they're kind of turning their sights toward us for flight navigation reasons in that region. And I'm so glad that they are. This is, I don't know, fun to start with the airport.
So I got a quick question. So how did you decide on this? It's not a cruise. Is it a guided tour?
I know. So I was a guest of the two of the tourism boards.
Okay.
One in Helsinki and one in Oulu. Oulu actually won the pleasure of being they were voted the European Capital of Culture for 2026. And so they put together a joint tour for myself and a few other travel advisors, and so we flew in, and I of course always have to go in. I went in a week early.
A week. Wow.
did my own little tour first. Just to try and experience the city. And Helsinki is very accessible. Finland itself is very accessible. The waterways, you can, hang on, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you got a humpback whale really? There.
I'm trying to record a podcast here. Sorry, I got a heckler in the audience. So they have a very, very, you know, very connected waterway, the ferry system. You can actually take a long ferry from Germany to get to Finland. There's a very popular ferry from back and forth between Sweden there. And then, of course, the one that goes to Estonia to Tallinn, which I did experience that myself. But so they're very, very connected, very easy to get to. So I went in early and spent some time in Helsinki and explored a few of the properties we weren't going to visit on this tour, and just really kind of tried to nose my way around the culture and the visit the market and that type of thing before we started. But
our hockey team had an opener in Helsinki one year. It's been a long time because I haven't really followed hockey for like 10 years, but
it's It's really such a unique city. And Sandy, I know because you've been to both of these places, I can say this and this will kind of make sense to you. Helsinki reminds me of a...
Pittsburgh?
No, no. Oh. It reminds me a little bit of Anchorage. Okay. And a little bit of DC, but in a cleaner, more European way. Say that there are so many there. It's got this small town cultural feeling that reminds me of Anchorage. You know, your downtown. Right. But yeah, the museums are there. There's so much design history, and even when you're not in the museums, the evidence of the beautiful design is everywhere. From the airport, from landing, starting right when I landed in Helsinki, it was about 9 o'clock at night. I am someone who gets triggered really easily. Oh, I get overstimulated by airports a lot. And
really?
Yeah, I know. Big shocker. But this was so different. I land and right away I hear like live music just lilting through the airport. They have a big, huge focus on live music, a love for live music in the culture in Finland. And it's very evident every place we went. Helsinki has more karaoke bars than I think I've ever seen, and truly dedicated karaoke bars than I've ever seen anywhere in my life. Probably more than are in several states combined, easy. But they're completely dedicated to... Oh, jeez.
Why are you ignoring that dog? That poor dog.
So awful. So getting into the airport, and it's even the design of the airport, it has this like calming effect that's not normally typical for an airport. And the stores and the shops that you see inside the airport, there's a high-end clothing thrift store and cafe right in the airport. There are all these little unique clothing stores and businesses, not a whole lot of chains anywhere really in Finland. One of the things that we all noted in our group of pretty well-traveled people was that this was the first place I've been where all of these companies are Finnish-owned. They're all local-owned. So you're seeing design stores and clothing stores, and it was such a wonderful thing to see on that level, even in the bigger cities where it was truly mom and pop type stores and not so much giant chains of things, which made for more unique and higher quality items and goods. One of the things that was shockingly different coming into Helsinki was the ease of transportation. I'm right at the airport. I didn't even have to leave the airport to get on the train to go right downtown. Cool. And then from the train, I took a little tram right to my hotel. I could have taken a bus, I could have walked, I could have taken a taxi or an Uber. Extremely easy to get around. So clean. One of the cleanest countries I've ever been to. I know I sound so American by all the things that amazed me about this country, but everyone is so polite and so kind and so trusting. They trust each other. They trust their government. And it makes this for this environment that it feels like I was on a different planet or an alternate universe from what we're used to here in the U.S. One big example of this, I purchased this Life water bottle at $70, $80 water bottle. I had it with me at the airport. I accidentally left it in the bar that I had stopped at to admire, of all things, a beautiful leather chair that, you know, who stops in the airport to admire the furniture? That's how incredible the design is in Finland. I mean, I want this chair in my house. And so I set the water bottle down and left it there. A week later, when another colleague of mine was coming in for this event, I asked her, I'm like, you know, it's kind of probably, long shot. Someone probably picked it up. It's probably gone. Can you look and see? Can you see if someone turned it into lost and found? She went to the bar. It was still sitting there waiting for me because people don't touch things that don't belong to them.
Wow.
Yes. And when I was on the train later on that trip, I saw somebody else had left a water bottle and they just left it sitting there because they figured they'd come back for it. Okay. That is the underlying.
I wonder how much time they give, you know.
I don't know. I know that experiencing it myself, it's one of those crazy things that just made sense. Like common sense is just the norm, I think, in this part of the world. Everyone is very, very kind, and English is pretty common. Most Finns speak three languages, I think, Finnish and Swedish and English. And so it wasn't hard to navigate, to get around at all. Lots of options for transportation. There was a pizza vending machine at the airport. It's gonna haunt me now that I'm going back, so I'll try it when I go back. So getting into the city, the first hotel I stayed at was part of the Scandic hotel group, and this group is this group of hotels, they are bringing a little bit of the Finnish culture into your stay there. It's a really great place to stay if you want to experience some of the food that you would traditionally experience. And they're world renowned for their breakfast buffet. Dens are very, very, very big fans of porridge, or as we call it, oatmeal. And I have to say, it's like, as an oatmeal connoisseur, Sandy, you know, you've traveled with me. Mm-hmm. I got to have my oatmeal. It's like the best oatmeal I've ever had in my life. I actually went to the grocery store and smuggled some home in my suitcase.
Really?
It's that good. I want. But it's the toppings. Their toppings bars are incredible, like fresh berries, and they have cloud berries that only are in ripened season, I guess 10 days of the year that you can pick them and harvest them. And so they make this cloud berry jam, and they serve it over squeaky cheese, and just the food. I was floored. I was not expecting to love everything I ate, and I loved everything I ate. It was everything. I didn't have a bad meal anywhere in this country. It was so good. And because the air is so clean, the water is so clean, you can pick the berries anywhere and just eat them. And never, I'm 45. This is the first time in my life I've ever been anywhere where I went out into the woods and picked berries and just ate them.
Really?
Yes.
You never did that before?
No. I have blackberries in my yard right now I could probably pick, but I don't – the pesticides from the golf course, I don't trust that. I don't trust that. It was just a completely unique experience. So back to Helsinki. So Helsinki, there's so many museums and so many unique restaurants, and I ate at an incredible – vegetarian. They took us to a vegetarian restaurant that Ellie would love. It's called Yes, Yes, Yes. Mm-hmm. And the food was yes, yes, yes. It was so good. It was so good. I think I licked the plate clean every single course. So good. And I wasn't expecting to like it because I like my meat. I like my they do eat a lot of reindeer, so I got to get my reindeer fix. And now I understand why I like reindeer so much.
So is it different? Is it reindeer sausage, reindeer dogs like you find reindeer in Alaska?
Reindeer sausage. I had reindeer steak. I had you name a way to make reindeer on a plate. And that's – I had it while I was there. It was so, so good. And it's very good for you. It's very healthy. Very healthy meat. Very low in fat. Huh. High in protein.
Sounds like bison.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Went to several of the museums, they took us on a library tour, which sounds kind of strange until you realize how incredible and how much more than a library this place is. The UDI, they received a grant, and I'm kind of fuzzy on the memories of what the grant was for, but they could spend it any way they wanted. They asked the citizens of Helsinki what they wanted, and everyone had their input of what they wanted for this library that's more of like a living room for the community. And we walked in, there were six of us, and we walk into this library and our jaws just drop open. Not only is it stunningly beautiful, like the design of the building itself is, it's a work of art, But the things inside were just any piece of office equipment that you could imagine. Every single, you know, 3D printers. There's a workshop area with lathes, with what are those big, expensive $40,000 laser cutting machines? That people, those things, pottery, you know, there's a sound rooms that you can record in. They had a whole wall of guitars that you can use and check out. And game station rooms where people could go in and play games, soundproof rooms for offices, for to have meetings, to have your, you could start and run a business. You could learn a skill here, sewing machines, and they have, they teach people how to use this equipment. They have classes and workshops. You could invent something here. You could literally launch a business from this setup. I it moved me to tears. It was so incredible. Tons of books and resources. And I know I'm skipping over a lot of the stuff. They had outdoor equipment the kids could check out. You could check out balls, bats, mitts, stuff like that. It's things to exercise. Just incredible focus on access for everyone in the community to these things. And Finland, one of the other things they're known for is they're the most literate country in the world. And we did notice this. A couple of the places we were going ended up in the library to use the bathroom in a few small towns, and they still had that focus on outdoor. You could check out exercise equipment or outdoor equipment.
That's cool.
Poles to go walking and things like that that you could just to have access to in your community. And so trying to remember, there's so many, oh my gosh, so many things.
So you talked about in the intro about saunas. So
yes.
Talk so a little saunas, bit more about that.
Saunas were invented in Finland. That's their claim. They're very proud of this. And it is such a staple of the culture that it is not uncommon for people to have a sauna in their home. And they're very particular about their saunas. And what defines a five-star hotel room for a Finnish person is having a sauna in your hotel room.
Oh,
so
did you see any rooms like that?
Yes. Yes. Oh, wow. We saw several amazing rooms that have saunas right inside them. And I will say, as somebody who I love spa, you know, I love spa. I am a spa girl. I have to be in the spa. I typically avoid the sauna because I thought it was bad for my asthma. And I just never really, I guess I just didn't stay in there long enough. And I wasn't in a proper sauna because a lot of the saunas we have access to here in the States are not set up, I guess, correctly in the way that they should be to be effective. So one of the things we did, we went out to this beautiful, I'm going to butcher the name, so I'm not even going to try to say that, this beautiful mansion where they have Makula Mansion, where they'll rent rooms for parties. And so they'll rent rooms for like a Christmas party, and you'll have Santa come, and you have your Christmas dinner, and you have Santa come out and visit all the kids, or for weddings and things like that, or for groups that group travel. When you come in and bring a group, we can set up special things there. They have this incredible sauna, outdoor log cabin sauna building, that has, it's the old school wood burning sauna. So they burn it, and then they burn it for so long, and then they open up all the windows and let all the bad chemicals come out. And then the fire is stoked underneath, or however it's done, so that you're not breathing in all that smoke. Because I really thought, oh gosh, I'm going to have trouble with this, but I didn't at all. And so there's an outer area inside the sauna for you with benches and chairs for you to sit. And they have a cooler full of the typical Finnish drink is called a long drink. It's gin and grapefruit juice in a can, and they have different flavors like blueberry and all these. It's really good. Not high alcohol content, so it's really refreshing more than it is boozy. It's very nice. It's a very nice drink. But they'll have that, and they'll have waters and beer and things like that that you can use while you're in the sauna. And you sit in there, you take your little mat, and you go sit in this area. And when you want the water to get hot, when you want it to get hotter in there, someone will take a little ladle and put their put the ladle of water on the fire and make it hotter. And it was right on the lake, so when it got too hot, we went outside and we all jumped in the water. Well, not all of us, but I did.
Wow.
Jumped in the water, and I can't wait. I'm taking a group back for sure. We went out to an island where the captain of the boat, we went out to this small little town, Raya. Where is it? Raya Tatopaja. I'm going to say that wrong. But we went out to and saw a handcraft demonstration, workshop demonstration, where we got to witness somebody showed us how they do bronze casting, which is something that their father had taught them. And that was his shop that she had inherited. And so she's casting the bronze in front of us, and we got to experience that and see all the goods, and we could purchase some things to take home. But from there, we went out and I went to a maritime museum, and we got to take a boat ride with a captain out to this island where you can rent a house out there and you can get kayaks out there and things like that, paddle boards. And there's a traditional sauna out there. And then there's a modern sauna as well. And we had the most amazing mushroom soup. And we got to, that's where we went out and picked berries. And very in touch with nature. Very.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds very outdoorsy.
Yes, like, very outdoorsy. Yeah. Even from Helsinki, even from the city, it's extremely easy to access. You can take the little ferry out to Sammelinna, which is this, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a bastion fortress. And at one time, I guess it protected Russia, Sweden, Finland. Like it's been part of multiple countries over the years, and it's a lot of walking, a lot of great things to explore out there. Just from Helsinki, you can get to so many neat little towns. We went out to Porvoo, which is this beautiful little town. Very, very sea focused. A lot of the little towns are very nautical history, and so a lot of the food is very based in what you catch in the sea, and so we had some very delicious seafood there, and let's see, it was very the market in all of the food hall market in Helsinki is pretty wonderful. A lot of really good options in there.
So did you also spend time in that other town, is it Oulu?
Oulu, yes. Yep. Yeah. So then the second part of this, we went up to Oulu, and from Oulu, that's where we went to Raya from, is from Oulu. So when we left Helsinki, we went up to Oulu, which was we spent, I want to say, 5 days in Oulu.
Oh, wow.
We went to Old Town Raya. We went to one of the cool things we did out there from Oulu, we went to Taco Somnia, and we did a chocolate workshop where we actually got to make chocolate.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. And I actually brought some of the things I made home, but we made like truffles. Filled with different like orange ganache, and there was one that was like orange and passion fruit, and one was one that was orange and one that was passion fruit filled ganache, like little truffles. That was cool to learn how that whole process works and to get your hands into making something. Mm-hmm. And they have chocolate and wine pairing workshops as well. Mm-hmm. So I think when I take my group back, we're going to do wellness focus. We're going to take we're going to go do some chocolate and wine pairing. So nice. We went out from there to took a city train to Nalakari, and we went out to the Puisto Amusement Park, Vatupuisto Amusement Park, and we got to meet the owner. It was really interesting. It's kind of like we got to ride. He turned the carousel on for us, and so all of us 45 plus year old women were giddy like little children to get on this carousel and ride this indoor antique carousel. And there were a bunch of cool little rides outside that the type that you would put small children on, but that the parents could also ride with them. And this amusement park is down by the seaside. So there's not too far from the beach, not too far from a couple different options for some unique properties to stay at that would accommodate multiple generations of your family, and just a very peaceful area. He gave us ice cream. It was my inner 6-year old was so happy with this excursion. And then we did the smoke sauna experience from there. We did there was so much. I should mention we flew to Oulu. So when we were driving around, we drove to Porvoo from Helsinki, but we flew to Oulu. You can take a train. There are some other ways to go, but flying was so easy, so convenient, and it was so quick. It was like a 30-minute or whatever flight. It was very, we were up and then we were down. I'm trying to remember what else that I know I left a bunch of stuff out, but.
So you went in August. What's the weather like in August?
I think it was very nice. It wasn't too hot. Mm-hmm. I think it was a nice moderate climate, probably. I want to say like maybe 70s.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
So do they have like year round tour? I mean, I think you can do like Northern Lights and stuff. Yes. In Finland, right? Yeah.
Yes. So one of the things we did in going up to Oulu was to check out several of the properties that you could stay at is kind of the gateway to Lapland up there. And so Lapland is where you would go to visit the Sami and learn more about the Sami people and to see the reindeer and the Northern Lights and visit Santa. So we learned about quite a few of the companies and properties in that area. But that there's something to do. I'm so glad we did it this way. I'm going back during the holiday time, but I'm happy I got to see it in August to realize that there's so much more there than just the Christmas. Because when you think of Finland, you think of the Northern Lights and you think of Santa and you think of reindeer and snow and all this. But there are all of these beautiful little pockets of Finland that now weren't on my radar before that now are, and there's a whole nother area I want to go back and visit that's like the capital of the spa experience. And so there are all these little pockets of nature, and it really, nature is, even though they are so design forward and kind of known for artistry and things like that, they really do incorporate nature quite a bit in all of their things. And even in the tourism, the focus right now is on conservation and on being responsible, as people who are looking to bring in people into their environment and to promote responsible tourism and to be more mindful of the environment and
that's awesome. And our resources. I love that.
Yeah.
I think we should
all focus for them.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of nature to protect, you know. Mm-hmm. 75% of it is covered in trees, and if I hadn't seen it, I would. The weirdest thing is that pollen didn't bother me. My allergies, not once did I have an issue while I was there. And I come home, and these trees can't kill me. But I can't say enough about how beautiful it is. It really is. It's stunningly beautiful. The water is so clear and calm, and the air, the sky was like a color blue I've never seen before. It's very very stunning to see in person, and I can't wait to go back.
Great. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.